Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 3 of the study of 2 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Kings 17, 24 through 41. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Would you join me on Wednesdays as we pray for America? Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit over the United States of America, God. I ask that you would speak to your people. Would you raise up messengers, laborers for the gospel that would preach your word, Lord? I ask that you would raise up churches, praying churches all over this nation that would call this nation to repentance, Lord, that we would turn our hearts completely back to you, God. Would you turn America back to you? Would you raise up a revival and awakening here? And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 24. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in its towns. When they first lived there, they did not worship the Lord. So he sent lions among them, and they killed some of the people. It was reported to the king of Assyria, "The people you deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know what the God of that country requires. He has sent lions among them, which are killing them off, because the people do not know what he requires." Then the king of Assyria gave this order, "Have one of the priests you took captive from Samaria go back to there to live there and teach the people what the God of the land requires." So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came to live in Bethel and taught them how to worship the Lord. What I find amazing about this is when the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel, not only did he make a covenant with them, he made a covenant with the land. Obviously here, the Lord has made a covenant with the land because these resettled peoples that have gone back and are worshiping false gods, other gods, they're reaping the wrath of the one true God for transgressing against the covenant he made with the land. They had no covenant with God themselves. The covenant was with Israel. But here we see that the covenant extended beyond just Israel and with the land itself. That's a powerful reality, and it makes us understand what's coming. When we tie this with the scriptures about the end times, we see that the land of Israel wasn't just this temporary place that the Lord established to house the Israelites for this day and age. No, it's the place where he is going to establish his eternal kingdom forever and ever. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem in Israel. And this land right here, it has a covenant with him. And all of these people that were resettled, they broke that covenant, even though they didn't know it. They broke that covenant. And the Lord is highlighting this. This is holy ground. This is holy land. And the Lord wants everyone in the world to know it. The reason he allowed Assyria to take the Israelites away and take them captive was because they had broken that covenant the Lord had with them and with the land. And when Assyria transgressed that covenant, the Lord wanted to make sure they understood that it didn't matter who was living there, they were going to have to abide by the covenant that the Lord made with the land if they wanted to prosper. So the king of Syria does something very wise. He goes and he gets one of the priests, which in and of itself may or may not have been a good thing, because the priests who had been in Samaria were part of the problem. Because remember, way back into the book of 1 Kings, Jeroboam the first had realized that if everyone continued worshiping the one true God in Jerusalem, that they might eventually reunify the kingdom and throw him out, or throw his family line out. And so he came up with these idols, and he said, "These are your gods, worship them." But he knew that not everyone was going to worship them, so he also set up his own priests who weren't Levites. They weren't of the order of the clan of Aaron, and then later Zadok. He set up his own priests. And And so this is probably someone from that heritage, from that lineage, a non-Levitical priest that Jeroboam had established. They're from that line. And so there was a lot of mixture that ended up going on in Samaria. So the thing that Jeroboam did wasn't just the golden calves. It was these priests that weren't Levitical priests. These were the two biggest things. And this was to snare the people who didn't want to worship the one true God and to snare the people who did. And someone from that lineage is coming. And certainly it's going to be better than nothing, but it's not going to work out really well. And that's why, because it's the same priesthood that brought on so many problems. Verse 29, nevertheless, each national group made its own gods in the several towns where they settled and set them up in the shrines the people of Samaria had made at the high places. The people from Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, those from Kutha made Nergal, and those from Hamath made Ashima. The Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire as sacrifices to Adrammelech and Amalek, the gods of Sepharvaim. These names are very difficult for me tonight. I hope you're enjoying me reading these. Verse 32, they worshiped the Lord, but they also appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines at the high places. They worshiped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. So we see here that there are detestable, awful, wicked, heinous practices going on in the land of Israel. Verse 34, to this day they persist in their former practices. They neither worship the Lord nor adhere to the decrees and regulations, the laws and commands that the Lord gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he named Israel. When the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, he commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow down to them, serve them or sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arm is the one you must worship. To him you shall bow down and to him offer sacrifices. You must always be careful to keep the decrees and regulations, the laws and commands he wrote for you. Do not worship other gods. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you, and do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their ancestors did. So here we see this is a continuation of the same problem that persisted while the Israelites inhabited the northern kingdom. Is yes, the worship of the Lord was ongoing. There were prophets. There were people who served the Lord, but it was mixed with all of this other worship, all of these other idols, all of these other gods. And then when the Lord says that he's a jealous God, you'll have no other gods before me, he's not jealous because he's insecure. He's jealous because he understands what it will cost us to serve other gods, because those gods are not real. And the one behind them, the one behind their existence, the one behind any supernatural occurrences that go on with other gods, and yes, they do. Yes, there were supernatural occurrences, supernatural things happening with these other gods. The one behind them is Satan, and he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Lord knows that when you are serving other gods, there's an enemy waiting in the bushes to steal, kill, and destroy everything you have. God's jealousy is not one of insecurity, but his jealousy is one of a jealousy for us to know real, full life. And everyone who persisted in this, they struggled. It was difficult. They were given over to their whims, given over to their lustful and wicked passions, to where they would even believe that a God would want them to sacrifice their own children in the fire. How wicked, how depraved is that? That is the jealousy that the Lord has for us to protect us from that kind of nonsense, from that kind of stuff. And here we see that the wickedness that went on amongst the Israelites persists on to the day of our author's writing. Whenever that is, on into the future from where we're looking at right now in the storyline, it persisted for generations. And this is the sad thing. Once something like this is started, it is so very difficult to turn it around. Once wickedness takes hold, getting rid of that wickedness takes an act of will and strength and fortitude beyond what most people have ever experienced. Fortunately for us, we're going to get to see in the next chapter that Hezekiah is up to the challenge. Even though it may be rare, the people who will turn their hearts completely back to the Lord and turn a people back to the Lord, it may be rare, but there are people who can and will do it. And that's one of the prayers I constantly have. Like we prayed at the beginning of this message, I pray for our nation. We've seen so much wickedness take hold in our nation. And even though it's rare to see it turned back, it's possible. And that's one of the reasons I encourage you to pray with me. Because when we join our voices together in prayer, the Lord truly hears. And He's real, He's very powerful, and He responds to our prayer. So I encourage you, join me in praying for the nation, for our nation, for the nations of the earth, the Lord would have His way in them, that He would raise up a humble people that love Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you don't know Him in that way today, I encourage you, get right with the Lord. If you would like me to pray with you, send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com or hit me up on Twitter at darrenhibbs. Or go into a church in your area where you trust and go and talk to the pastor and ask him if he will pray with you to know Jesus the way I'm talking about, where you know Him and love Him in humility and grace and thankfulness. I encourage you, if you don't know the Lord in that way, get to know Him in that way, because He loves you. He's jealous for you to know the peace and joy that comes in knowing Him. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow for another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.